There's one thing that has actually happened in this past week, which has been dragging on for some considerable time, and that is over here in the UK, that is, and that is that the hunting with dogs is now due to end, and it's due to end in 3 months' time. And in addition to that, the actual bill, the Parliament Act, as it says here in yesterday's paper, it says the Parliament Act was used last night to force the hunting bill onto the statute books. The centuries-old practice of hunting with hounds will be unlawful in England and Wales from February the 18th next year. The rarely used act was invoked by the Speaker to end the deadlock between the peers and the MPs after a day of drama and confusion. Now, the House of Lords, who is a traditional house, would not allow this hunting bill to go through because there's so much opposition to it. There's enormous opposition within the countryside. If you go to the countryside, which are the people that it would actually affect, there's enormous opposition to the bill. In the towns, however, because of all the animal rights pressures and so on, you have an enormous amount of support for banning hunting. They think it's cruel because all they look upon the fox as a furry little animal. In fact, the fox is an absolute villain as far as the farming community is concerned, and you only have to see the damage that it does to lambs. It is a predator, and it has been a traditional way of controlling the fox, is to control the fox using dogs. There was something like, was it 20,000? I can't remember the exact figures, that were actually killed in Wales alone last year through the actual the hunts. There's something in that order. The interesting thing is that JPs, the Justice of the Peace, many of those actually do hunt. And we're looking here about the you must enforce the law. This is Monday, November the 15th. It says, magistrates must enforce hunting laws passed by Parliament or resign from the bench, the consultation secretary, Lord Falconer, has warned. In a foreword to revised guidelines currently being distributed to all 28,500 JPs, Lord Falconer has said that the magistrates are required to enforce any law that's enacted, and should a magistrate be unable to meet that requirement, he continued, I would be unlikely to consider them suitable for office. So in other words, in these, here, it is really a moral judgment that is being made here, and we see how these laws are going to be enforced, and these laws are not, they're certainly not democratic in that regard, because the people who it affects are being overruled by Parliament, and the people who have been put there to protect just such an occasion are being overruled by the House of Commons. So the actual structure of law, the structure of government within this country is changing. It has changed, and it is progressively changing. In that area, going back to last Monday, another article appeared. It says, the Dictatorial Powers Bill alarms the peers. Now here are the peers again, who are alarmed by pieces of legislation coming from the House of Commons. And it says, legislation conferring dictatorial powers upon ministers to tackle major emergencies, including terrorist attacks, is facing a last-ditch challenge in Parliament. The Civil Contingencies Bill, which is intended to update laws dating back more than 80 years, would allow the government to suspend or repeal any act of Parliament if there is an event or a situation which threatens serious damage to human welfare. So if you get a problem that they deem serious damage to human welfare, it says the environment, it says not just human welfare, but damage to human welfare, the environment, or the security of the UK, or a place in the UK. Now notice what it says. It is worded in quite an interesting way, and we'll go on and comment about that in another comment from the papers. It says, the measure is being debated in the House of Lords tomorrow, with peers determined to protect core constitutional provisions from the scope of the legislation. They also want to ensure that the powers of the bill are renewed by Parliament every 3 years. And it goes into various amendments. But the way in which it actually passed legislation over hunting by dogs does have a bearing on this Dictatorial Powers Bill. You see, as I've mentioned before, so many of these laws that are being passed are passed in a very general, this is particularly in Europe now, they're being passed in a very general way, they're deliberately ambiguous, they're deliberately vague, and the judicial process, which is an unelected body within Europe, is making the decisions as to what they really mean. And so what's happening is this Euro agenda is being pushed through in a surreptitious way by the back door. The thing is, over here in the UK, we're also getting things which are, it's a devious lawmaking process that is taking place. There's another article here from last Tuesday, and it says, Huntsmen, foxes, and police are all heading for a fall. Now, it says here that the Queen is our last chance, says the Liberal Democrat MP Lembit Opik. We'll have to throw ourselves at her feet and ask her not to sign the bill. Now, this is to do with the hunting with dogs. But it says here, the government is also worried enough about civil disobedience. This is civil disobedience regarding the hunting bill now. And worried enough about civil disobedience to take precautionary measures, the Civil Contingencies Bill, which is supposed to help combat terrorism or terrorist threats, has been carefully drafted to ensure that it can be used against illegal hunting. Now, if we notice what it says about this Dictatorial Powers Bill in the day before's paper, it says here that the measures are being debated in the House of Lords tomorrow with peers determined to protect core. It says, where are we? What did I just read it just a minute ago? It says, that's right. It says, it's intended to update laws dating back more than 80 years, would allow the government to suspend or repeal any act of Parliament if there is an event or situation which threatens serious damage to human welfare, the environment, or the security of the UK or a place in the UK. Now, you can see security of the UK or a place in the UK or human welfare, but they've put in the environment there. It sounds as if, oh, it's just making it, it's extending it just that sufficient amount to cope with terrorist threats, but it's not. It's worded in such a way that it can be used, as it says in this other article on the 16th, that's last Tuesday, that it can be used against illegal hunting. It gives ministers the power to break up meetings, seize property, prohibit traffic along public roads, and so on. So this is the problem, that we see laws going through, and they're going through in surreptitious ways, and they're being implemented in a ways which, it looks, it's like smoke and mirrors. It's like a magician's act. When a magician is trying to go ahead and do a magical trick, what he does is he draws your eye away from something onto something else, but you don't notice the other hand doing something, because everything is concentrating on the hand that he wants you to concentrate. And that's exactly what's happened. The focus is on terrorism, but under the other hand, it's the liberties are being eroded, and it's being eroded in this particular case to combat the obvious, as it says, the civil disobedience and so on that will result from the hunting ban. And it's very much a class thing. It's very much something to do with, a great deal to do with the Labour versus Conservative, or the Democrats versus Republican kind of concepts. To give you another example of the kind of thing that happens regarding laws being used in a way that is not the way that the laws were designed to be used, another article appeared last Tuesday about a road protester who was convicted over a banner. It says, a homeowner who hung a banner from his window in protest at a new road being built across his front garden was yesterday convicted of breaching advertising laws. So here was somebody who's going to have a road across his front garden, and he hangs a banner out to notify people just what's going on, and the council then convicts him and prosecutes and convicts him. It says, after being found guilty, Butler said that I'm very sad that my city council has used advertising laws to suppress opposition to their scheme. So in other words, they get together and they connive together to, they want to go ahead and silence this particular individual. And they use any means they can, and they will use legal means, in quotes, but it goes against the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is totally trampled underfoot, And any kind of opposition to what they want to do, they will do whatever they wish. It says the implications for protesters nationwide will be enormous, because until now it was understood that we have a basic right of freedom of expression. This judgment now seems to qualify that. It has become a case of freedom of expression just as long as you agree with the council. He says it stinks, but that is basically what had happened. Now, basically, the reason why the council argued, it says the banner bore the name, logo and contact details of the Derby Heritage and Environmental Association for residents and trainers called HERE, which has been fighting the road plans, and therefore it's advertising. And who do you know, it's fighting the road plans which the council are bringing in, and how does it therefore go ahead and deal with this? And again, the council can go ahead and raise the revenue it wants from the homeowners. They can increase council tax and can therefore fund whatever campaign they want, but they can also squash anything that is in opposition to what they particularly decide. And this kind of thing that is happening within this country. And it's not just within this country, it's across the world, particularly in reaction against the terrorist threat that is happening across the world. Articles are appearing, and Philip Johnson is writing this particular one. This is from last Wednesday. It says, with all these laws, our precious liberty is going up in smoke. It says, and this is fairly long, and I think it's worth reading the whole thing. It says, it's said, though less often now than it used to be, that the basis of English liberty is the rule of law, under which everything is allowed unless specifically prohibited. According to A.V. Dicey, the 19th century constitutionalist, this was one of the features that distinguished England from its continental counterparts, where people were subject to the exercise of arbitrary power and were proscribed from actions that were not specifically authorized. It's a total reversal of the laws. Now, where did the laws of this land originate? You see, people don't really understand who are abroad, particularly the United States. They don't realize that England doesn't have a constitution. The constitution is a body of law that is based on thousands of years. And you can go right the way back into the very, very early times, and you can cite cases. And that is actually based on scriptural basis as well. It is not just a case of whatever happened in the past. It's also in the past they did believe in Scripture to some degree, and this does form a basis. In the continent, the Catholic Church held sway, and the Catholic Church said you can do absolutely nothing unless we allow you to. And this is the difference, and that is the difference in the legal system between the Europe and also the UK. And yet we are going in that direction. We're trying to merge the law of the UK with continental Europe, and it is becoming a Catholic-based type of law. It says, effectively, this principle limited the scope of the state to intervene in people's lives. Law set the boundary of personal actions, but it didn't dictate the course of such action. The announcement yesterday that smoking in most public places is to be made an offence, presumably punishable by a fine, is the latest addition to a lengthening list of things that were once allowed but are now to be criminalised. It says, when the current parliamentary session ends tomorrow, there will be several new offences under the Children's Bill. It will be a crime punishable by up to 5 years in prison to smack your own child if a visible mark is left as a result. Now that is disgusting. But that is what's in there. In other words, if you leave a visible mark on a child's backside, you could end up in prison for 5 years. And, you know, it says, beat a child with a rod and don't spare for his cries, because he's not going to die. And if you beat a child with a rod, you will leave a mark. The housing bill will make it an offence to place your own home on the market without first spending £600 or more on a home information pack. The House of Lords was last night trying to make an 11th hour attempt to remove this compulsory provision for the legislation after it was being reinserted by MPs. So again, the Lords is trying to protect the previous liberties that were there, but the House of Commons is doing whatever it can to squash this, and they're actually replacing the Lords themselves. And the way the Lords actually worked in the past was that each individual peer specialized in a certain field. and therefore the other peers would listen to the specialist in that specific field, and they spent their own money and their own time in specialization, and you had therefore a balancing act against people who were elected green off the street within the House of Commons that knew nothing about the subjects at hand but had certain ideology and ideological views. But it says, by February or within a few years, depending on what happens in Parliament this week, it will be a crime to mount a horse and ride off in pursuit of a fox. So again, that this again is something that has been added. And you can see these laws being added. And incidentally, that one about the housing bill, making it offensive to place your own home on the market unless you pay for the £600 for this survey, I've heard literally this week that in fact it's much more than £600, it's about £2,000. Which, you know, you're looking at over $3,000, getting on for $4,000, that you've got to have this pack, and you've got to employ certain specific qualified people to compile it. It says, since 1997, it's been a criminal offence to possess any handgun, even a .22 caliber, for sporting purposes. An individual whose most aggressive instinct is to fire at a target can no longer do so in this country, even under licence. Those who wish to pursue their sport must practice abroad. Not only has the ban on handguns failed to reduce armed crime, it also means that if London hosts the 2012 Olympics, it will be staging at least three competitions for which the equipment will be illegal in this country. This again is another compounding issue. It says, and special dispensation will be needed for shooters to actually host the Olympics in this country. And what is it doing? It basically is undermining the ability of anyone to protect themselves. You can see this legislation piece by piece being laid down within this country so that, you know, when Europe does come in, it will go in, it says about the Assyrian going in and take the eggs, and it'll neither peep nor mutter. There won't be a peep. I think that's Isaiah 10. It says, since June, it's been illegal to own a horse, donkey, or a Shetland pony without obtaining an ID card for the animal to ensure it doesn't poison anyone who eats it. Do you see how mad these laws are? But that is the law over here. That is the law since June. In order to allow the country's horse owners time to comply with this law, its full force will not be deployed until February. At last count, for we are a law-abiding nation, 400,000 owners had registered their animals, paying £50 or more for a 20-page document that must include a description drawn up by a vet, who understandably charges for doing so. Again, there's a psalm, I can't remember which psalm it is, I didn't actually prepare that, there's a psalm that talks about men who make evil laws, and they do make evil laws. If you own a stables with many horses, this is a significant burden. If you merely have a moth-eaten nag at the end of your field, which has been at pasture for many years, it's the height of madness. Failure to get a passport, this horse passport, will mean a £5,000 fine or 3 months imprisonment or both, or summary conviction. On indictment, in other words, if the offence is persistent, there's a 2-year prison term. A 2-year prison term for not getting a passport for a horse. Yet at the same time, the government has introduced new regulation whereby a thief who steals goods worth £200 or less from a shop will not automatically be arrested and taken to the police station, but handed an £80 fixed penalty. So you steal £200 knowing that the most you'll get is an £80 fixed penalty. Where are these things coming from? They're coming from deviant minds. They're coming from minds that are deviant. I'm sorry if I get under the collar, but it really annoys me. You know, I read this and it says, with all these laws, our precious liberty is going up in smoke. No, the smoke was coming out of my ears when I read this thing. It says, but hand an £80 fixed penalty notice without any criminal record, providing it's paid on time. So you can go to prison for not getting a horse ID card when it's been perfectly lawful to own an animal without state interference since our forebears painted their faces blue. But if you're a thief expected to rap on a knuckles, apparently because it takes too much police time to deal effectively with low-grade shoplifters. When Tony Blair came to power, it was lawful, if not advisable, or to use a mobile phone or make It was lawful, if not advisable, to use a mobile phone to make or receive a call while driving. Now it's an offence to use a handheld phone or similar device, which with a fixed penalty of £30 or a fine of up to £1,000 if the offender takes the case to court and loses. This applies even if the car is not moving, but the engine happens to be still running. That's what is the law over here. And these have just been in this last year. And this is the direction in which these things are going. It says, from the beginning of this month, it's been an offence punishable by a £5,000 fine or 6 months jail to set off a firework after 11 p.m. A particularly objectionable and antisocial thing to do, but one that has not been a crime until now. From next August, as a result of EU directives accepted by our government, an estimated 5,000 vitamin and mineral supplements will become illegal. Any shopkeeper who continues to sell them will be committing a criminal offence. Now, where's this legislation coming from? Well, the drug companies. The drug companies don't want this, so they'll go ahead and they'll pressure Parliament and their money talks, and it's a corrupt system. A corrupt system. Until now, at least, it has not been an offence simply to exist, but the identity card bill in next week's Queen's speech will mean that from 2007, everyone renewing a passport will be issued with a compulsory ID document and their details entered to a national register. Failure to obey will mean a £2,500 fine. You may think that one or even two of all of these new offences are justified and appropriate. We've all been tempted when confronted with behaviour we do not like to say, well, there should be a law against it. Well, now there is. But I thought it would be worth reading that particular article in pretty well in full, because this is what is happening within this country, and it is becoming more and more that way. Again, you've got a docile populace who do not make waves, who are being disarmed, being put into this system. They're made to comply with this system. They're going through a schooling system that it makes people comply, and you're getting a population that is just ripe to be taken over. And that it fits in with Isaiah 10, where it says that there won't even be a peep when it actually takes place. Because why? That they'll have bombs go off in the cities, and these good people are coming in to help. They're coming in to assist. It says that, let's just go in that. Hosea 5, sorry. So Hosea. You know, we've always thought it was an outright attack. No, it's not going to be like that. It's more surreptitious than that. Satan is a snake. He's got the mind of a snake. He's devious, he's a liar, and the father of lies. And these things are coming from this mindset. Hosea chapter 5, verse 9, it says, Ephraim will be desolate, verse 9, shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I've made known that which shall surely be. So it's going to be desolate. But you go down a little bit further into verse 13, it says, when Ephraim saw his sickness, and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian, and the ellipses is, and Judah sent to King Jarob, and yet they couldn't heal you or cure you of your wound. Now, Jarob means strife. That's what it literally means. And that's why Strauss was highlighted by Mr. Armstrong, because his word means strife, King Jarob. So we're looking for somebody to appear on the scene that fits this bill. And yet here, when we're looking at this particular verse, we see that they go. They almost go in a compliance. It's not something that is lorded over them in that regard. Over in chapter 7, notice in verse 11, it says, Ephraim is like a silly dove without a heart. They go call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. When they go, then I'll spread my net upon them, and I'll bring them down as the fowls of the heaven. I'll chastise them as their congregation has heard. Now, the congregation hasn't heard yet, which makes me wonder what our job is eventually, or what somebody's job is going to be eventually. But we need to be prepared that when God's time comes, that we're not afraid to do what God wants. But it's when God's time comes, it's got to be very, very clear. We don't go ahead and start doing that until we've got our own house in order. Notice over in verse chapter 9, it says, verse 16, it says, Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up, They will bear no fruit, that's Hosea 9:16. Yet though they bring forth or slay even the beloved fruit of their womb, my God will cast them away because they did not listen to him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. They're going to be refugees. They're going to be refugees among the nations, and when they're in the nations, it appears that they will be not decimated, but their population will be persecuted in that sense. It's interesting that when you actually recognize that against Matthew 24, which talks about the household being broken up, and we've seen that happen within the church, I've mentioned it several times, that the implication seems to be that, you know, something similar is going to happen within the nation. And we've seen this household broken up. It was broken up in a snake-like, surreptitious way from inside. We need to be aware of these laws that are taking place and happening at the moment. And it's, you know, let me read you another one. This is coming from somebody who is a ChristianVoice.org, basically, .uk. This is somebody who has made certain comments, and this is what he's saying. It says, exactly a year ago, the Bishop of Chester was investigated by Cheshire Constabulary for suggesting that homosexuals should seek psychiatric help. In January of this year, newspaper columnist Richard Littlejohn was also investigated, this time by Scotland Yard, after he criticised the award of an MBE to the head of the gay police inspector Paul Cahill, and suggested that homosexuality was a career move in the Metropolitan Police. Now it's the turn of Christian Voice. The police have launched a Scotland Yard investigation following the launch last month of our website, truevision.org.uk, in which Christian Voice set up the pro-gay police initiative, True Vision, together with Home Secretary David Blunkett's identification earlier this year of evangelical Christians as terrorists. Again, notice where this is heading. There are other things I've read in preceding weeks that talks about how it's easier to control the state-funded churches, but any church in a basement or in a living room broadcasting over the internet is going to be suspect. It says, Inspector Steve Deham of the Metropolitan Police, who is also project manager of the Gay Police Association, confirmed that Christian Voice are under investigation. He said, we're now looking into if their actions amount to perverting justice or obstructing the police, because they happen to mention about this organization within the police. At the same time, about deposed Euro Commissioner Rocco Buttiglione, he was just an erudite, good riddance to that Rocco. It goes on, it says, the Gay Police Association cannot tolerate any view other than their own. Just as we predicted on truevision.org website, they are trawling the bottom of the legislative sea for any law that can be used to shut up their opponents. You remember what I just read about that person who happened to hang a banner in front of his home? This same mindset. It is a twisted mindset. It is not going to the spirit of the law. It's a twisted, snake-like mindset that is coming out. Those who hold the traditional view that homosexuality is an objective disorder and a sin in the eyes of Almighty God, or who view the promotion of homosexuality by the police as nothing short of a national scandal, cannot be tolerated in their politically correct world. And there's another one here. This is one for, it says, the arrival of secret law. It says, last month, Helen Chenworth Haig attempted to board a United Airlines flight from Boise to Reno. Now, here's about the United States, because it's going in a similar direction. When she was pulled aside by airline personnel for additional screening, including a pat-down search for weapons or unauthorized materials, Chenworth Haig, an ultra-conservative former congresswoman, requested a copy of the regulations that authorizes such pat-downs. She said that she wanted to see the regulations that required the additional procedure for secondary screening, and she was told that she couldn't. She couldn't see it, local TSA security director Julian Gonzalez told the Idaho Statesman. She refused to go through additional screening without seeing the regulation, and she was not allowed to fly. It's pretty simple. Chenworth Haig wasn't seeking disclosure of the internal criteria used for screening passengers, only the legal authorization for passenger pat-downs. Why couldn't they at least let her see that? Asked the statement commentator. Because we don't have to, Mr. Gonzalez replied crisply. That's called sensitive security information. She's not allowed to see it, nor is anybody else. In other words, because you don't have to. And again, it's this the law, the actual state control, is you're only allowed to do what the state says you're allowed to do. It's not a case of you're only allowed to do what the state doesn't say you're allowed to do. It's a different, it's a twist in the thinking. It says, this is a qualitatively new development in US governance. Americans can now be obligated to comply with legally binding regulations that are unknown to them, and indeed they are forbidden to know. That's the, that's it, this, and again, that is coming from the United States. And I think one final quote I think that might be of interest and useful to people. Regarding the actual EU, it says, this is from Friday, that's yesterday. It says, the EU must be a world power, says Chirac. It says, the French leader backs cooperation with Britain but maintains the stance in Iraq. It says, Europe needs to become a power on the international stage, able to stand alongside the United States in shaping a fairer world order, President Jacques Chirac of France said last night. And then, although he sought to draw a line under his differences with Tony Blair, Mr. Chirac used, it's interesting, he's talking about Tony Blair and Mr. Chirac. You know, but that is the way that our papers over here operate. Mr. Chirac used a visit to London to promote his belief that the EU should have its own credible defense system, strategic space program, and develop a balanced partnership with the United States. Balanced in quotes. Now, this is the direction in which it's going, but we've got to understand that the laws and the way in which the laws are being implemented are working against the traditional freedoms within this country. And in addition to that, it seems as if they're working against traditional freedoms in America as well. They're a few steps behind because they're not as close to Europe. But the indication is from prophecy is that there is not going to be the resistance when that time comes. And we can see this kind of legislation continually being laid down, and we've got to be aware of it. We don't have to be frightened of it. It, as I say, the steam was coming out of my ears reading that particular article. But, you know, we better get used to it, because I'm afraid it'll probably get a little bit worse, if not a great deal worse. In fact, it's going to get a lot worse as far as the mark of the beast is concerned, where that is going to be imposed. And it's going to be directed towards the church, and it's going to be directed towards the Jews, because obviously the Sabbath is going to be that key area, and Sunday, or the pagan days are going to be the key area when it actually comes into being. He's throwing his money around here now. Just a prop I wanted here.